not only forgiven. I'm talking about how to endure till the end. You must believe that you're forgiven. And also Hebrews 8, verse 12, the Lord says, I will remember their sins no more. Very important. I will not remember that sin anymore. God says, that thing you did, it may come to your memory. We can't help it. Our memory is not cleansed. You know that? It's our heart that is cleansed. Some people don't understand the difference between memory and heart. Because you're reminded of a past sin, you say, oh, I still remember that. Of course, you'll remember that till the end of your life because your memory is not cleansed yet. It'll be cleansed one day when Jesus comes back. But your heart is cleansed right now. God says, I don't remember it. And I believe in my heart that God doesn't hold it against me. For example, the thief who died on the cross. If you meet him in heaven, you ask him, hey, did you murder a few people on earth? He said, oh yeah. I feel sad that I murdered so many people. He remembers it. But he has no guilt about it. But he said, thank God the blood of Jesus cleansed me even from that. So memory is not something that we have to feel guilty about. If we have really honestly turned from our sin and confessed it, it's gone. God says, I will not remember it. The other thing we must remember, first, we are cleansed in the blood of Christ. Second, God says, I will not remember it. One more thing. Romans chapter 5. I'm telling you how to hold on till the end, like the pilgrim, to reach heaven's gates without falling away. Romans 5 and verse 9. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justified is a great word. It means two things. Where have we come so far? My sins are all forgiven. Number one, God does not remember my past. Number two, that itself is great. Now we go to step three. Justified means just as if I had never sinned. Isn't that great? Just as if I'd never sinned in my life. I'm 79 and a half. I've never sinned in 79 and a half years. Do you feel like that? About your life? That you've never sinned in your whole life? You say, well, not so sure. That means you don't believe that the blood of Christ has justified you. You believe it has cleansed you, but it's not just as if you had never sinned. Oh yeah, I did. Amazing the power of the blood of Christ. And the next level is justified means more than that. It means not only I've never sinned, which is a negative thing, but a positive thing. The word just is from righteous. Just means righteous. Justified means righteous. So I've been righteous all my life. Not just that I've not sinned for 79 and a half years. I've been righteous 79 and a half years. That's what the blood of Christ does for me. And I want to say I believe the word of God. That doesn't make me take sin lightly. No, not at all. It makes me take sin more seriously because I say, Lord, I think of what you suffered on the cross. Every drop of blood from your body flowed out when you were pierced and the sword pierced your side, the blood flowed out. There was not a single drop of blood left in the body of Jesus when they took him down from the cross. Do you know that? There was not a single drop of blood. All that blood. There's a verse in Leviticus 17, I think it's verse 11, which says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of a man is in the blood. You can cut off a man's hand, he can still live. You can blow, poke his eyes and blind them, he'll still live. You can cut off his legs, he can live. You cut off his shoulders, he can live. You can pull out many parts of the body from inside. Anyway, some parts of the body from inside, they can still live. But if you drain out the blood from his body, don't cut any part of his body, just drain out all the blood from his body, he cannot live. Even though he's got all his hands and legs and eyes and everything, when the blood goes, his life goes. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when Jesus shed his blood completely on the cross. He was pouring out his life completely for us. That's why we got to take sin seriously. I often meditate on the cross. I'll tell you that, honestly. That's what makes me take every little sin seriously. That's what made me take anger at home seriously. Or discouragement and murmuring, complaining seriously. Lord, you had to die and shed your blood, pour out your life for this. I want to hate it, I want to hate it, I want to hate it. So, we are thankful for the blood of Jesus cleansing us. The Lord does not remember our sin anymore. And the blood of Jesus justifies us, declares us righteous. This man is righteous, has been righteous, just as if I had been righteous all my life. And when we have that type of confidence, we endure till the end. The devil cannot condemn us. And we are merciful to, you know, we see, like we saw in Pilgrim's Progress, people running back all the time trying to stop us. We don't judge them. Say, poor man, he hasn't understood what the blood of Christ could do. He doesn't understand what it means to humble yourself and get grace from God. I am not better than him. I meet a lot of believers, unbelievers, and I keep saying, I am not better than them. I meet a lot of backslidden Christians. I say, I will not despise them. I could have been worse than all of them. One of the greatest saints that lived in the Christian history was a man called John Wesley, who preached holiness, lived holiness. He died at the age of 88 or something, having preached the gospel for more than 50 years. Faithfully, God-fearing man, and preached holiness, lived holiness, when he was dying. You know what was one of the almost the last words from his lips on his deathbed? He told the friends around him, I am the chief of sinners, but Jesus died for me, and therefore I am entering his presence. This man who lived such a holy life for so many years, when he came into finally as he's approaching heaven, he said, there's only one thing that can take me into God's kingdom. Jesus died for me. That's why he would never despise others. He never despised people who were sinful. He kept his standards. He didn't join up with other churches or other people who didn't preach those high standards. But he never despised them. He didn't join them and he did not despise them. Some people, when they hear we don't despise them, they go and join them. And then they become compromisers of themselves. No. We have to stand true to the things we have heard. We must fellowship with those who preach godliness. But we must not despise people in any other group. So if we have this attitude, because I believe that many people fall away because they despise others, or they think they are better than others and things like that. So, you know, we become strong because we're reading God's word. You remember how Christians use the sword to fight the devil. We need to have it all the time to resist the devil and stop listening to those demons who are always whispering things into our ears, accusing somebody to us, and see that person is like this and that person like this. Next time you hear all those accusations in your mind, remember that picture of those two demons whispering things. Don't listen to them. See, I'm not going to listen to you. The devil is called the accuser of believers. The accuser of believers. There's only one accuser of believers. He's got many agents, but there's only one chief accuser of believers. And when you hear accusation, remember that picture of the demons. I keep it in mind. Whenever I also hear accusation, but I say, those are the demons. I'm not going to listen to them. No. When I am an elder of a church, I have responsibility. It says, even if you hear an accusation against an elder, wait. Confirm it with at least two witnesses before you take action. Confirm it. That's what I seek to do. I want to find out, is that true? Somebody says, oh, this is true. Okay, let me find out from another person. Is it true? Then I take action. Not just straight away believe it and say, yeah, it's all rubbish. This person is like that. Don't get into these opinions, because the one who's forming those opinions is these demons whispering things into your ears. And you'll be defiled by them. Once the demons get a foothold into your mind with those accusations, they will destroy you. And you won't be able to endure till the end. Resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and by prayer. And I believe every one of us can endure until the end and have a glorious entry. We don't have to wait till death. Maybe the Lord will come before we die. Let's remain and be faithful, and God will help us. One more thing. We must seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something we need all the time, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come out so clearly in Pilgrim's Progress, but you know, different people encouraging him. The house of the interpreter was the Holy Spirit teaching. So indirectly it's there, the Holy Spirit encouraging, guiding, teaching, sending different people across our path to encourage us, another brother coming along and encouraging us. This is all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we must seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of our life. And the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of our life is simple. Always keep a good conscience. Think of a vessel full of oil, like the five wise virgins, and full of oil. They had a flask full of oil. But if there was a hole in that flask, by the time the bridegroom came, the flask of oil would be empty. They would think, oh, I have a flask of oil in my pocket. No, it became empty because you allowed a hole. A little hole is an unconfessed sin. So that's the way we ensure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Keep your conscience clear, number one. Only two things. And the second is, whenever you get an opportunity to humble yourself, humble yourself. Don't take a position above others. Take the low position below them. Esteem others, Philippians 2:4, as more important than yourself. Not more spiritual than yourself, that's impossible. But esteem others as more important than yourself. Then you will always be filled with the Holy Spirit. Take the low place. Sit at the feet of the disciples and wash their dirty feet. That's our job. Like Jesus, on the last day of his life, he was washing the dirty feet of his disciples. Humility and keeping a good conscience. That's all you need to do. Keep a good conscience and always humble yourself and take the low place, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of your life till Jesus comes. And if you have the assurance that you're cleansed from all sin and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you, we will all endure until the end.